Seemingly gone away from our subject quite a long way back. We have to bring you back again. We were talking about reading the words of God in the morning and in the evening. Do you remember that? Or have you forgotten it? Yes. Well, if we read the words in that spirit that I mentioned, and knowing that the power is latent within these words, then it will influence our hearts. We must also know, going back to the Word of God again, that the Word of God is creative. Everything which is uttered by the manifestation of God, it becomes effective. Even whatever that word may be, whatever that word may be. I will give you an example of this. Over 100 years ago, when Baha'u'llah was living in a tiny little room in a house in Akka. Some of you have already been on pilgrimage. You have seen the little house. House of Udi Khammar, which is part of the house of Abud. Now, there is a little room in which they tell you that he revealed here the Kitab-e-Aqdas, the most holy book. There is nothing in this revelation greater than the revelation of the Kitab-e-Aqdas. This is one thing you can be sure of. There is nothing greater than this revelation of the Kitab-e-Aqdas. Of all the writings of Baha'u'llah, this one stands out. And in this book, Baha'u'llah wrote 4 or 5 lines. Can you imagine writing 4 or 5 downs in that small, depressing little room? And in that 4 or 5 lines, this is what he said. He said, in every locality, in every town, establish a house of justice in my name. And 9 people should, or more, should become members of this, or something to this effect. I'm paraphrasing his words. And he did not write any more about it, or press us, or push us, or keep on reminding us about it. He just wrote those few lines, and he went. Now, look at what those few lines have done to the world in our communities. Look at what it has done. Tens of thousands of families have left their homes, have given up their jobs, have sacrificed everything they had, have gone to the most inhospitable parts of the world. Why did they do that? They went there in order to fulfill these words of Baha'u'llah. As pioneers, to form local spiritual assemblies, which are the nucleus of those houses of justice which Baha'u'llah has ordered. You see the creativity of the world? And now we have about 30,000 of these institutions. 30,000 of them. And we are not going to stop here and say, well, this is a difficult job. And really it is. It's the most difficult job to form assemblies. You realize this. We are not going to say, well, look, this is too much. Let us drop it. We have enough. Let us do all the other teachings of Baha'u'llah, but not this one. We are not going to say that. On the contrary, we are going to continue and continue and continue until such time that every locality on the surface of this earth will have its house of justice. You see the creativity of the word now? Without forcing anybody? People give their lives for establishing local spiritual assemblies today. These are not words, it's the truth. People have given their lives for the establishment of these institutions. So much sacrifice have gone into it that if you study the history of the building up of these institutions, which have been brought about by pioneering movements all over the world, people of all colors and classes and races, not that they are all Europeans or Americans or Persians who do this, peoples of all colors and classes and backgrounds, speaking all kinds of languages, they have arisen with the same spirit to promote this principle. This very 4 lines in the Kitab-e-Aqdas, that's all they're doing. You see now the creativity of the word, how the word of God is created, penetrates into the hearts. Now this is, so when we recite the words in the morning and in the evening, we must remember these things. We must remember it's the word of our Creator. We must remember the way it was revealed. We must remember that these words are creative. We must remember that these words penetrate into the hearts. It has infinite significances and meanings and powers within it. And then, of course, it will affect us. And also, above all, we must look at that great ocean. Never leave it out of our sight. You remember the story of the drop and the ocean? We must always look at the greatness of that ocean of revelation, and then we become humble, and then these words will penetrate into our hearts. And so when we read the words, when I read the words, when you read the words in the morning, recite them, and then you go to your work, we will remember it. We must remember it. And when you are dealing with business, with your, in your business, whatever it is, from time to time, let the thought of Baha'u'llah come to your mind. Let it flash into your mind, Baha'u'llah, his words that you have read this morning. Just flash it. It comes as a flash in your mind. And it becomes like a sharp electric impulse in our bodies. And even the man who is looking at you, who is not a Baha'i, he could notice a difference in you. There is something happens. You just are a different person. You've just been in communing with him in that instant, without interfering with your work. And so you see, in this way, the food is being digested now. What you have read will penetrate their hearts. And then you become hungry when you get home to read more of the words of God. When we started this sort of discussions and talks in some European countries, especially in Ireland, that I live there, and the Irish people are very, very spiritual people. Very spiritual people. They took it to heart. And one of them asked a question, a very genuine question. He said, look, in the mornings, I have been in such a rush to go to my work. I can't read the writings. And of course, you realize this. The Baha'u'llah says you must read it in the morning and in the evening. If I don't read it in the morning, and then the evening comes, I have, as if I've gone out without my breakfast, spiritual breakfast. And I'm afraid Baha'u'llah had not said that it doesn't matter if you didn't read in the morning, it doesn't matter, lump them together and eat it, read it one go. He says in the morning and in the evening, I'm sorry. And there is a reason for it is, as I mentioned today, it's that that these words may penetrate into our hearts. Just like food that you eat, you have the food in the morning, you have to take the food in the evening. So, it's very important. When I go to my office and I'm very busy and I have not read the words in the morning, and then the morning comes and goes, and then when I go home, I've missed reading the writings. And they said, what are we going to do? Because some people said, we can't do it in the mornings. We can't get up earlier. There we are. And we are tired in the mornings. You know, some people stay very late nights for some reason. And then in the mornings they can't get up. I've seen many of them like that. Especially in summer schools it's like this. Always the classes in the morning is absolutely empty. And people, to such an extent that I know in some countries they have come to the conclusion that classes in the morning shouldn't start until 11:30. They just can't help it. No matter what they do, people are staying till 3 in the morning, 4 in the mornings, having all kinds of fun and talks and late night sessions. And somehow people like late night sessions, as we call them, you know, which is informal, sitting together and talking, and then the official lectures. So, now, what are we going to do, he said. He said, I'm tired in the mornings, no time. Well, the idea came, why not take a book with you to your office? You can't let this day pass without reading the words. So take a book with you, one of the writings of Baha'u'llah. And so it became customary for some people to take the hidden words with them. And then they find 10 minutes to sit down at some place and read it. You see, this is important to be serious about it and to be regular. It's no use to read it this week and then next week saying, oh yes, we must read every day. I read last week one passage, I read one passage this week. You know, it's just saying I've eaten my food last month and I'm going to have another feed today. You know, Baha'u'llah has said every morning and every evening. And he said, if you don't read it, you are not faithful to the covenant of God. I tell you a story. Two months ago, we were in Paris. And we were staying with some friends. My wife and family, and we were all staying with some friends. We had an Irish young lady who we knew, she was in Paris also. And we invited her to come and stay that night with us so that we could see her. Oh, she said, I would love to come. But she said, I'm in town now. I can't go home. I have no pajamas to bring with me. I have no toothbrush. All these people said, we'll give it to you. Doesn't matter. Come on in. She said to me, you know, there is another problem. Now, all of this happening to visiting. I said, what is the problem? She said, these people we are staying with, they have no English books. No. She said, I must read the writings tonight and tomorrow morning. I have no books with me. Have you got an English book that you can give it to me of the writings of Baha'u'llah for tonight and tomorrow morning so that she could come and stay? You see now how serious it is? This is how they have taken it to their hearts. And now the faith is growing there with beautiful qualities of people coming into the faith. Now, all of this is really because we are turning to Baha'u'llah, obeying him, his teachings, obedience. If he is the voice of God, then he deserves, he must be obeyed. Obedience. So now, so much about reciting the words in the morning and in the evening. And you know why we said all this about reciting the words in the morning and in the evening, why this, how this came about, you remember? We were talking about the soul. We talked about the spirit of faith being born this morning. We talked about how the spirit of faith is born. How our soul becomes pregnant, becomes fertilized by the influences of the revelation of Baha'u'llah, and how it will give birth to the spirit of faith. And then we said, now that you have given birth to, like a mother who has given birth to a child, you have to feed it. That's why we talked about so much about reading the writings of Baha'u'llah. And we also, I want to remind you again, there's a great difference between the writings, like tablets of Baha'u'llah, and his prayers. Prayers are different things, and writings are different things. And we said this morning how opposite of each other they are. You remember that. Now, I want to go a little further. It's not only that we should read the writings and then everything will be fine. You have to do other things. Just as I said this morning, we have to, in order to live, you have to do a lot of things together. You have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to cook, you have to shop, you have to wear clothes, you have to do a lot of things to live. And it's the same thing in the faith. You have to do a lot of things together. The other subject that I want to bring up now, that is a subject which may be foreign to many of us. And I'll mention it frankly, it may be foreign to so many of us who come from the Christian background. Reading the writings is not foreign. Saying prayers is not foreign. But one of the laws of Baha'u'llah is the saying of obligatory prayers. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this obligatory prayer so that you can see what it is. It is not just a prayer. This is something you must remember. It's not just a prayer. You cannot put it on the same level as ordinary prayers that we have. In the original language, there is a special word for it, which is different from prayer. But because there is no word in English to translate it into, it has been translated in this form of calling it obligatory prayer to indicate it's an obligation to perform that rite. It's a Baha'i rite. It's the ritual. See, the faith is not without rituals. We have some rituals. But the only thing is this, these rituals are not man-made. These rites are given to us by Baha'u'llah. The saying of obligatory prayers is a religious rite. And it is a law of Baha'u'llah. And if there is a choice of saying the obligatory prayers, if you have a choice to say the obligatory prayer today or read the writings, the obligatory prayers have precedence. And it's very beautiful.
You see, God has not forbidden, has not withheld from us all the pleasures of the world. You must not think that Baha'u'llah has come to stop us having pleasure. All the pleasures of this world, you can enjoy it, and it is for you, but you have to do it in the right way. Baha'u'llah mentions the idea of detachment is not to become a poor man and a mendicant or live an ascetic life. You can, he said, have all the good things of this world. He said, in fact, all the good things of this world, in one of his tablets he mentions, all the good things of this world is created for the loved ones of God. It's all created for you. But he says, do not become attached to them. Do not make them to rule you, to rule over you. But you can have them. He says, if you can eat in vessels of gold, eat vessels of gold. But don't become attached to them. Don't let them become your master. So you see, the idea of detachment is so different from what people think. When you say detach yourself from the things of this world, some people think now this means you have to become careless, you have to give up the world. And this is against the teachings of Baha'u'llah. He has never told us to desert the world. He says, in fact, he says, engage yourself in all the work and the professions. And he says, your work is service. Your work is worship of God when you are working. So you see that how much the view of detachment is different from what we understand it. Now that I'm talking about detachment, let me go a little bit further about this, because this is a subject which we often talk about. We often talk about this in the writings. You hear more and all the time telling us that you have to be detached from the things of this world. To be detached does not mean, as I said, to become careless, to give up the world and become poor. In fact, sometimes poor people are much more attached to the world than rich people. You know, sometimes poor people are much more attached to the rich than the rich people. There is a story in Persian of a king and a dervish. Maybe you have heard that story. It's a Persian story. And the king and a dervish. The dervishes are supposed to be, now they're supposed to be renounced. They have renounced the world and they are detached. And in fact, they have nothing. And they have really, that's one thing, they have nothing. And they go around and they have got a little basket. And they carry this basket around with them so that as they go around, people would just put a little bit of food in these baskets for them. And they sleep anywhere that they come across. You see how much this is against the teachings of the faith? Although they think this is detachment. This is very much against the teachings of the faith to do this. Anyhow, it was supposed to be, this man was supposed to be so detached from the things of this world that the king became very fond of this idea. And he invited this dervish to his palace. And then they stayed together for some time there, and he taught them a lot of lessons about detachment, and the king became very, very much of a convert to this idea, and he said, well, I'll become like you. And so the king disguised himself in the garb of a dervish, left the palace, and they both of them began, left the palace and went on wandering. You know, just this is what they do, they wander around. And after a mile that they gone, suddenly the dervish, in horror, he found out that he has left behind his basket in the palace of the king. And he said, oh, this is terrible, we have to go back and get our basket. I can't go without it. The king said to him, look, I have left behind my palaces, and you were attached to your little miserable basket, you see? Which is true. Now you see, really, detachment has nothing to do with riches or with poverty. Although Baha'u'llah says, and so in other religions, that if you are a very rich man, it's difficult to be detached. But if you become detached when you are in a possession of wealth and other things, then your station is very high indeed. But really, detachment.